Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you enjoy the Red Men podcast, then we have got more Red Men podcasty goodness for your ears. And now, as an alternative to RedMenPlus.com, you can subscribe to Red Men Plus podcast directly through Spotify. Yep, you just go through Spotify, pay them directly instead of us. It means the same thing, except you get access to the podcast in Spotify directly. Get involved. Extra Red Men podcast each and every week. Hey everyone, Redman Podcast time. Paul Machin, Steve Hoare, Chris Pajak in the studio with me. I nearly forgot your name, man. Just fractional pause.
I was going to say, I felt like you needed more energy there. That was a little bit low.
That was very much like Podcast Extra.
Yeah, that was very low key for you. You're usually
like
a bit
just
more
relaxed into Podcast Extra. You want to get that across in the first sentence.
Are you okay?
I'm sad. I'm ready for Kimbo. You know what I mean? I'm kind of. So I don't know why I've been in a reasonably good mood, and then I can't put my finger on what it is.
I think I just sitting like, in the room with us. Yeah. It's just
maybe that's
old. It's fucking sparkle.
No comment. No comment. I could really do with Liverpool signing a footballer. You know, I'm quite excited, but I'm also the more we're going to talk about Jude Bellingham. We're going to talk about Enzo Fernandez because they're the big ones at the moment. We're going to talk about the state of Liverpool squad as well in part two. But I see a lot of people saying they're ready to be hurt again, and I'm not. I'm not ready to be hurt again. I've been hurt enough.
Apprehensiveness.
Yeah.
Cheer up, Paul.
Fowler broke us, didn't it?
Yeah. Fowler, Torres. You know what I mean?
They're leaving though. That's a bit different. This is more like Fekir.
No, it's not. It's not like
no. In terms of
this is just like the interminable misery of the last 3 months of all the "I told you so"s. Like Liverpool definitely needed to sign a new midfielder. Yeah. When, just to clarify, Liverpool's manager, without being prompted, came out with Liverpool don't need to buy a midfielder,
And then changed it.
And then changed it
swiftly. Changed it
as we've all done, by the way. Yeah. Apart from those, of course, who were on it first, the cool kids.
Good for them.
Who remind me of when you're really into a band before they were popular, and then they become popular, and there's just no currency in having been like the band first. It's just really funny.
The only thing you can hold on to is I saw them in a small room.
Oh yeah.
That's the only thing.
All those people who were like Kings of Leon fan before like the first album came out, and now like
the first album. Well done, lads.
And now and now your auntie loves them. You know what I mean? It's like
those kind of ruin it though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
When Sex on Fire hit and they sigh. Oh, I liked it when they were playing Milk in front of 200 people. Yeah. I must admit, I saw the Art of Monkeys in a small room, and I do hold on to that, so I'm kind of in this boat as well.
Yeah,
but I'm with you. But it's fine. Everything'll be all right, mate.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Fine. I don't think it's actually really football related. I'm just kind of I'm ready to.
Because you wore black as well. Maybe that was like subconscious, like you're in a bad mood. Maybe.
Yeah. So maybe it speaks to my mood over the last 5 years. <'cause> Chris has stopped giving me non-black merch to wear because
fair enough. Yeah. I hope you're all right. Anyway,
I'm fine.
Let's chat it through.
I'm absolutely.
The Machin therapy fine. Session is in order.
Yeah.
It's not got off to a great start.
I mean, no.
Chris, you got a kickoff question because I forgot to prepare one.
Yeah. If you could change the kickoff in football to anything, what would you change it to?
Drone drops the ball from 50 foot. It bounces.
I reckon that's okay.
It bounces and then it's just a clash for heads. Like a basket. It's almost like a bit of a basketball tip off, but I want the drone.
You need the drone.
Without a drone, it's just a ball falling from that.
Well, it is just a ball falling.
Yeah, but there's a drone.
Yeah, but wasn't it more fun when you were young when someone would just boot the ball up in the air and you didn't know where it was going to go?
Like,
I feel like when a drone's going to drop it, it's just going to drop it in the centre. And I want a bit of jeopardy in my life.
It's got to bounce though. Let it bounce and see where it goes. Oh, maybe.
Well, it'll just go up again, won't it?
Oh, remember in
that's how bouncing works.
The XFL, when they tried to do like the American football, and their kickoff rule was you stood on your own goal and the ball was in the middle and you just run for the ball. That could be cool.
I reckon that's fun.
That could be a good one. So you have to be on the edge of your own box and the ball's in the middle.
So.
And the whistle blows, or someone's got a leg for the ball.
Have you seen
a bit like what we did in thingy? What's that? Zorbin footy.
Yeah. So have you seen the XFL did this?
Yeah, he's just said that.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I was totally switched off.
I know. So, mate. Again, we've got aforementioned.
Do you know how many players got injured?
Oh, Lord. Yeah. That's why they stopped.
So that's level the playing field, Paul.
Yeah.
Ours are going down like flies anyway.
Yeah. Nath Phillips starts every game for Liverpool.
Lays into someone.
Yeah. That, oh, my God. I mean, like, you've always liked the idea of special teams in footy. Like, you know,
no,
like the...
No,
kicks,
I haven't.
Free kicks, special teams.
Never said that.
Oh, what about...
Once, not once.
Definitely.
Never. Not in football, in American football, I like special teams.
Chris wants special teams for free kicks.
Absolutely bullshit.
Why would I make that? Where would that come from?
I don't know, but it wasn't me.
Listen.
I feel like this is what I like, my mum and dad fight.
Chris definitely wants special teams for free kicks.
Chris wants you to shut up, mate. Why?
I don't even know what a special team is.
Why would I make this up? How would special teams work in footy?
Someone gets subbed on, take the free kick and then walks off again.
It sounds like a good idea, but it's not what I came up with.
Claim it now when it works.
Yeah, exactly. It was apparently one of the most fun features of the XFL, but some guy in like the first game basically dislocated his shoulder. Dislocated the shoulder, a disproportionate number of injuries. I like the idea of it being a bit like the basketball tip-off thing as well. You know what I mean? Where it's just kind of lobbed in there and someone's got to hunt it down on the first
like table today. Football when you just throw the ball in.
Yeah, just two guys on the pitch and it's almost like that's your opening goal as well. So you've got to get on the ball and it's the first team to score or something like that. You know what I mean? Starts with possession of the ball. How's that?
I don't think we've done very well here.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm open to further suggestions if you're live with us.
I'll be honest, I don't think there's that much wrong with the kickoff. There's loads wrong with footy.
Well, they've changed
starting the game.
It's
fine.
I was watching the game the other day and it did occur to me that I've stopped thinking about the fact that you don't kick off with two players anymore.
Well, you used to kick the ball forwards, didn't you? That's why.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. It's like, you know, you probably still can on eFootball, but like on PES there was a while they changed it, but you could press like L1 and up or something and you could change back to it. And I always did just Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good one, because you've got two fellas there. You can't recreate the Robbie Fowler, Stan Collymore, Tiki Taka passing up the pitch from kickoff anymore because you've got one guy there whose job it is to boot it to the edge of the centre circle. So, yeah, a free choice to how many people you can have do stuff from kickoff.
I suppose it would get rid of Liverpool's tactic, which is seeing when he kick off, give it to John Matip, he kicks it to the left wing and they go off to the team's throwing.
Yeah.
That seems to be our MO for kickoffs.
Nobody's told our centre backs that we don't own Sadio Mane anymore. Is that a significant part of this?
Remember, it usually results in Sadio winning header and winning throwing or elbowing someone in the face and getting away with it because it was in the first 10 seconds. Now it's Fabio Carvalho, Luis Diaz or Jota, just the ball going over the head, or Darwin Nunes forgetting that it's coming to him.
Yeah. I mean, there was at that point where never Daniel Sturridge would start centre forward for us and they'd go long and he'd just be like, the ball goes up in the air, he's like,
you know, read the team sheet before we started the game. I'm not Andy Carroll.
Never once seen Daniel Sturridge jump and win a header to hold the ball up or flick one on in my entire history of watching Liverpool. Yeah, good stuff. One other wrinkle to this kickoff thing. If you had to choose, what's your optimum kickoff time? All football games could be played at one kickoff time and one kickoff day. What would it be?
Ooh.
Everyone always like, do you know people go, oh, we should be 3 o'clock on
people
a Saturday?
People shag Saturday 3 o'clock, and I'm not here for it. Like,
no.
I much prefer the 12:30s.
No, I don't. I disagree. I'd go late. Like 8 p.m. every game.
Friday 8 p.m. is my optimum.
No, not after work. I don't want that. I want Saturday 8 p.m.
I mean, you literally don't work on a Friday, so...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, and I would have to.
All right.
You answer me question for me then? Right, yeah. Give me Saturday at 8 p.m. every game. Yeah, I'd be all over that.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Saturday,
12:30. I agree in so much as it gives you...
Put the pressure on the teams ahead of you.
But everyone's playing. Everyone's now kicking off at 12:30 on a Saturday.
Oh, everyone is. Oh, well, it's still 12:30. There's other reasons. It's just fitting better with my life.
Yeah.
Saturday 8 I'd go for. Yeah.
If I was not a parent and I was going out drinking after the games and stuff or before the games, then I'd probably go Saturday 7.
There'd be more alcohol-related deaths if every game kicked off at 12:30 on a Saturday, I think, because people would just annihilate themselves after the game. That's it, you're out. You're out from 10 o'clock in the morning until you're not out anymore. Now, I agree with the Saturday because it gives you a weekend. And so the game's over and then you've got your weekend to either revel in it or to think about other things if it's gone wrong. That, but the Friday, because I fucking hate early kickoffs.
See, I think you have not thought about midweek games. It just falls perfectly, doesn't it, on a Wednesday, 12:30. Brilliant.
Lunchtime Wednesday kickoffs for Champions League games.
We'd be sound getting fucking tickets everywhere midweek. Yeah. Everyone else is in work, we're there, just sound, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, you are doing... 8 o'clock kickoffs every game. Nah, fuck that.
Yeah. Okay, sad. We're going to be chatting less of this bullshit and more Jim Bellingham and Enzo Fernandez.
Bullshit.
bullshit. As well as looking through the state of the squad and kind of some thoughts on the injuries to Diaz and Jota and what it means for the January transfer window. Very quick break from us. We've got an amazing set of competitions, daily competition prizes to give away. Here's some more details on that.
Hello, all you wonderful festive people out there. Just to let you know, we are running an incredible Advent competition on Red Men Plus throughout December. We are entering into week 2. We have already given away this, an Auto Pen signed Mohamed Salah framed shirt, a signed Michael Owen medal, but there is plenty more awesome Liverpool themed prizes still to come. The main prize on the immediate horizon is that right there. Crown Paints retro Liverpool away shirt signed by Ronnie Whelan and by the most decorated goalkeeper in Liverpool history, Bruce Grobbelaar. On top of that, we've still got loads of other bits and pieces away, signed books, merch and more leading up to this on Christmas Day. The coup de grace. Phil Thompson, Liverpool legend as a player and as an assistant manager, and Jamie Carragher, Liverpool legend at his centre-half, both signing a 2001 Liverpool away shirt with the FA Cup final, Cardiff 2001, stitching on it as well. an absolutely wonderful, unique piece of Liverpool memorabilia, and that is the King Dingaling Prize still up for grabs, as well as, of course, giving you access if you join and get yourself into the hat for these things by going to redmenplus.com and joining as a club legend. You're also going to get amazing content. The football is coming back very, very soon indeed, and we're going to have you covered. We've got documentaries, features, interviews, and club legends also get to join our Discord and get free merchandise as well. Not only do you get all that boss stuff, you'd also get entered into the draws for these incredible prizes as well. So yes, join us daily as we give stuff away. Make sure your name's in the hat by either upgrading from club captain or joining simply at redmenplus.com as a club legend tier subscriber. All the best.
He's counting it down.
Hey, welcome back. I've been holding a burp in, and it's not ready to come out now, and it's on the verge. I'm going to disappear away from the microphone at some point.
Do it directly into the microphone?
I mean, if it wasn't into the ears of 20-odd thousand people, then I would. If it was just, off camera, I absolutely would.
I think I'd do.
Pure disdain for the people in the production studio. Sorry, Aaron. we're going to be drawing the latest prize on Tuesday night show. Is it Chris, you on 9 p.m.? Mm-hmm. Tuesday night live on YouTube. Chris will be reacting to all the latest news and getting all your reactions on there as well. Sunday to Thursday, we do those live shows on YouTube all at 9 p.m. So, yeah, if you want to tune in and see whether you've been drawn as the prize winner, then do just that. Right, let's crack on because we've been doing a lot of Jude Bellingham chat in the last week or so, because it really feels like it's starting to kind of heat up. We'll start with him, then we'll move on to Enzo Fernandez. Chris, it's weird because the Bellingham one feels probably the most solid. You know, you're now starting to get
Hornstein.
Yeah, you're starting to get proper people talking about it, and I don't think anyone's prepared to properly nail themselves to the mast on this one, but a lot of the people, I mean, like Neil Jones on the Journal Insight last week was talking about this thing, like, you know, about he doesn't want to say it. It's like a done deal because it's not a done deal, but it feels like Liverpool have certainly done all the right legwork behind the scenes. It feels to me very Virgil van Dijk deal to me, this. Not that we're going to get it done in January. More that they've done all the stuff required to win the player over. They just haven't sorted how you go about getting him from Dortmund to Liverpool.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, I know a lot of people don't believe in the Enzo Fernandez links, but I'm actually quite believing in them as well. So, but I think Liverpool...
Out of 10, how believing in them are you?
Look, I think when it starts to come from the country that they're from, I think you can put a little bit more weight into those rumours, to be honest with you, and it's starting to come out of Argentina now. So that matters to me. If it was just, you know, a random Italian thing, whatever, but when it starts to come out of the country that they're actually in, yeah, we've seen that time and time again that tends to ring true.
We've made journalists famous, haven't we? From, like, the lad from Guinea with
Pepe Sierra
from Colombia, and Sega from Guinea when we were getting Naby Keita and stuff. You are right, I had this speech to Neil about this, and he basically said since the Van Dijk thing, Liverpool have really kept their card close to their chest, and rightly so. It cost them a player and it cost them loads more money, so it makes sense that they're doing that. So I'm with you. I actually, you mentioned before about what feels, I think they both feel real. I don't know whether that means it's one or the other, or if it is both and they're going to spend like a lot of money on the midfield, which they need to do. There's a big revamp needed in Liverpool's midfield. We're losing probably three of them, and there's questions whether it's injury or age, quality, I suppose, about every single midfield we've got. Other than that, really, even like the best ones like Thiago, the age / injury stuff. So Liverpool do need a revamp, so I wouldn't be shocked if it's both. The good thing, what Chris said before, the Bellingham stuff, is it feels to me that Liverpool want him. Obviously he would quite like to move to Liverpool, but why would he nail it down now? Because, listen, Real Madrid could come in and just blow someone out the water. And why? There's no rush for Dortmund to do it either. It might be that everyone's just waiting for Dortmund to give it the tip. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think there's, you know...
They left Qatar 3 days ago or something.
Well, that's all Aldi's, isn't he? Yeah. Whatever he is. And also, like I say, you know, no smoke without fire. I think there's big fires burning for both of them. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, again, the cynic thinks, well, we've never done this before under this ownership where they've gone and just gone bang, bang. Maybe that's what they're trying to do. Maybe that's why they were trying to raise a bit more money, because they knew they had to do that. I don't know. But and with Chris, the Bellingham stuff is coming from too many places. In Germany, really reputable sources in Germany. David Ornstein talking about it's huge. And then on the Enzo Fernandez stuff, I don't know the validity of these outlets. But again, when they're coming from Portugal and they're coming from Argentina, I tend to agree with you. It feels like there's both on, which is very exciting. Two very, very good players. Yeah. Two players that Liverpool need. It's fun times. It's just whether, like I say, the cynic and you think, we've never really done this before. Are we really doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think on the Bellingham one, for me, I think everyone's known that Liverpool want him. So sometimes in these situations, you'd probably get journalists not wanting to stick their neck out. Well, everyone knows they want him. The only way they're sticking their neck out now is to say they're in pole position right now. And they've always caveated it with, right now, they're in pole position, which leads you to think, well, they might not be in the future. And that's kind of the way football transfers work, isn't it? Every one of us knows that, you know, until it's done, it's not done. It's that simple. Anything else can happen in the last few hours leading up to a player signing for a club. So Liverpool have done everything right. To go back to what you asked originally, you know, whether that be Klopp talking about him in the press over the last 18 months, whether that be Jordan Henderson and Trent Alexander-Arnold buddying up with him at England camp, everything seems to suggest that he is our absolute number one target and has been for a long time, and that will make a player feel good.
Yeah.
The fact that the light's still shining after 18 months for him, that you've still got a hard-on for him after 18 months, and the money being talked about isn't putting the club off.
Yeah.
So Jude Bellingham, having then played alongside Jordan Henderson, having then spoken so well about how he enjoyed playing with Jordan Henderson, everything points to, if Liverpool have got the money, Liverpool will sign the player.
Yeah, and to your point that you made, I think it was one of Neil's points originally, Steve, is Liverpool are very good at shutting transfer rumours down. They'll do it a drop for half, they'll do it over nothing. You know, it even goes back to one years and years and years ago where it was the only insight we ever got onto a Liverpool transfer was Jen Chang basically shutting down. Oh Christ, he was the Uruguayan guy who played for Southampton.
Gaston Ramirez,
that's the one. And it was like, you can unequivocally say Liverpool will not be buying Gaston Ramirez. They'll do that. James Pearce gets, you know, they ask the questions because the main journos ask the questions. And Liverpool are prepared to shut it down because they don't want the name associated. They don't want themselves being used in transfer negotiations.
Who was the lad from Porto? Who was it? Yeah, and they were like, well, no, that's bullshit. The literally said, I think the quote was, we feel there's an agent trying to use our name here to get it. Like, they will do it. So I think
there are some things, sorry to say, just to the point where it doesn't hurt Liverpool's reputation to be linked with players like this, so that you could make the case that you wouldn't want to shut some transfer rumours down, because it's, if you know, you're getting the kudos
at the top
being,
table.
Yeah, exactly. You're sitting at the top table, whereas in reality it's forced perspective. You're actually just sat outside the window, just from where you're looking, it looks like you're sat at the dinner table with all the top players.
I suppose though, Paul, on that one, you could say that with the Fernandez one, because that's relatively new. This Bellingham stuff's been going on for ages. If there was nothing in it by now, someone somewhere would have said, let's calm that down, because he's going to go to Real Madrid and our fans are going to be absolutely mental.
Yeah.
So I think we'd all agree. I don't think there's a person out there who doesn't believe Liverpool are in for Jude Bellingham, including Jude Bellingham and his mum and dad and whoever looks after him. The Fernandez one's relatively new at times speaking, so that it might come out that someone does come and poo-poo that soon. But
I am sceptical on the Enzo Fernandez stuff, only in so much as, because I did this on Sunday's live show, and the story hasn't changed since then. It's just that the wording's changed slightly, and it's all the same stuff, but it's being reported in different sources. So it came from weird places. It was coming from Spain, and it was coming from and then subsequently somewhere in Argentina got it. On all these publications, all look very similar in how they're structured. I could probably do some deeper diving into this, but I don't care. So maybe someone at home can do this. It wouldn't shock me if it was like whatever the European equivalent of Reach PLC is, that owns like the Echo and the Mirror and, you know, all them kind of stuff. If one company owned all the newspapers that are reporting on this, if Ojogo are also owned by AS Diario, or all got the same ownership structure, because these are all, it's all the same shit being reported. Records in Portugal was another one as well, wasn't it, saying this kind of stuff. And right now it's all being picked up. And the British journalists or the British tabloids are always a step or two behind this, because apparently, you know, the old school journalists don't know how to press Google Translate on Chrome. And now we're starting to get it. So it feels like we've had 3 days of ramping up Enzo Fernandez stuff, which in reality, it's not. It's just more people have clocked on to the report that was coming out on Saturday, I think, initially about him. Yeah. But...
And there's two ways of looking at that, isn't there? I mean, you might be absolutely spot on, or the journalist might have gone away and checked the sources, and it takes time.
Yeah.
That's the other that's the other way, and they've come up with the same answers.
Yeah.
And a lot of this happens, there are people who run Twitter accounts and who do this kind of stuff, and more often than not, they kind of know who isn't reputable, and they let you know kind of thing. Some of them have rating systems, or some of them just speak to people themselves. And by all accounts, again, you're right, we are trusting the word, but like apparently there's reputable coming from, again, pretty reputable sources, so we'll find out. I think you said the point in the WhatsApp group the other day, it might be one or the other. It might be that Liverpool get one and Real Madrid get one, and you're just covering your bases. And it genuinely could be. I spoke about this. I don't want to repeat myself too much on the live show. That they are very different players, though.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, it's like the Tchouaméni to Bellingham was a bit more similar in times. Like Enzo Fernandez is more Thiago than he is Yaya Toure, where I believe, like I keep referencing him for Bellingham. He's just more dynamic, athletic, that kind of stuff. Enzo Fernandez is more of a ball player who can be a DM.
Yeah.
I don't think Jude Bellingham. So it might just be that Liverpool are saying, yeah, we do need both. We need to spend £200 on our midfield if we want to get back to winning stuff.
That's how much they would pay.
£200.
£200 million, yeah, maybe that's what, yeah. £200 million rather, yeah. And that's the thing with it, is that it makes no sense to be either or, because if it's either or, they are two completely different profile of players.
Yeah, I get your point on that, and you're absolutely right. But I what my point I was making, again, in appearance to our conversation on this, the similarity is the £100 million midfielders.
Young lads.
And what I mean by that is that you can go for one. You need one gem. You need to make a bit of a statement. You need to go and get one star. And we're in a position where you can buy it in any one of the three midfield positions, really, you know, because we actually need one for everyone in reality. So as much as I agree, Enzo Fernandez and Bellingham, if we signed them both, they wouldn't be competing for the same position. They'd be playing in the same midfield, but they wouldn't be in rotation in one position. But I wonder whether there's a world where it's, well, you've got like three plans, and plan one is Bellingham, Casado, and someone on a free transfer, and the other one is Fernandez
and Amrabat,
and so, you know what I mean, and that's how that kind of weighs up a little bit. You've got to go out and get one big player to show the world that you mean business. Yeah. So if you don't get Bellingham, you've got no choice but to go and get Enzo Fernandez,
that does make sense.
But Mundo Deportivo, and this is via the LFC transfer room, are saying Liverpool's close to securing both Jude Bellingham and Enzo Fernandez. Real Madrid are aware of this and may lose out on both of their midfield targets.
That's where
I think this is a little bit at when you're saying it, Steve, that's what I was saying the other day, is it does feel a bit, I could see a world, Chris, where we definitely need both of them. That'd be amazing if they could do that. I'm not prepared to get too carried away on that just yet, but Real Madrid are very much still looking for one more midfielder, and it does have a big whiff of, it feels like we could end up splitting the difference with them. They'll get one and we'll get the other one.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the hope, as you've both mentioned, is that we get both of them. The fact that FSG haven't gone and spent £200 million in a transfer window is that what poo-poos it all for me. You know, that's the thing. And then especially
not selling someone.
Yeah,
as well.
And then you start to think about, well, you know, is this what the money that they're looking for is to be used for? Who knows? I just think there's a time and a place where you've kind of got to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
And right now feels like the time and the place where Liverpool need to bite the bullet and go and spend above and beyond their means for once. Because, you know, Arsenal are moving forward, Manchester United moving forward slowly.
Don't forget about Newcastle.
Of course. You know, Tottenham Hotspur seems to have a bit of stability at the moment. You could quite easily find yourself sixth in the league for a couple of years. So are you protecting your asset by investing in it? Maybe that's what FSG are looking at right now. That's the hope for me anyway.
And also, like you said, is that, and this happens with a lot of teams, that you have so much success that you don't replace players during that success a little bit, and then you get to a point where you're like, ah, fuck, they're all 30 odd now, and we need to rather than doing gradual little changes, because to be fair, in certain positions we have done that, so
we've done that in every position apart from
that's what I'm saying. They've done it a centre half, and they've done it up front to an extent. They have done it up front, like Canate's come in, done it at full back with Tsimikas done a little bit of fullback with Calvin Ramsey now. But yeah, midfield's the one where they've just gone with the save. It's, I referenced before, Liverpool's midfield is kids or lads who are approaching on the wrong side of 30, because the ones who are in their prime, who show it's Chamberlain and Keita, and they're going because they just haven't been A, good enough, or B, fit enough, or a combination of both in some cases. It's only really Fabinho, and he's pushing 30 now. There's just like, there's a gap of a prime player. And I understand now, I'm contradicting myself by saying Bellingham and Fernandes are, because they are young, but they're at a different level of, you know, they're like, they're
generation.
They're just good top players, especially Bellingham, who I know more of than I know of Fernandes, the Bellingham one. He plays like a lad who's 25, 26.
Did you see this? Was an article, and I didn't go full in depth on this. This is not a stat as such, but someone did a feature on this at the World Cup.
Yeah,
and
the depth of talent, age 22 to 26. Yeah, and yeah. I read it, and it was really interesting. And basically, every top team has got a 30-year-old and a fucking 20-year-old, and there is just like a generation that kind of went missing, essentially.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, actually. I can't remember who wrote it now, but I remember reading it, yeah.
But it's interesting that that's kind of the point. The Real Madrid stuff I find is really interesting, and for once, us losing out to Tchouaméni kind of might work into our favour in these coming transfer windows, because they've already bought Camavinga, they've got Tchouaméni, they've got Valverde, and look, Modric is a million years old, but Cruz is nowhere near as old as people sort of make out, and Modric, I don't know what his future's going to hold, but they're obviously not lacking in talent still in that department. And now you're looking at it going, okay, well, we always say this, all good footballers will believe they'll get in a team and fight for it, but you can see your place in Liverpool's midfield, I think, more clearly than you can see it in Real Madrid's.
With all due respect, if you're Jude Bellingham or Enzo Fernandez and you're going, well, I've got to try and get Valverde, Camavinga, Tchouaméni or Cruz out, or Harvey Elliott or Jordan Henderson, like you're probably fancying your chances. I like both of those players, don't get me wrong, but from the outside looking in, that feels like an easier one to walk yourself in. Bellingham would walk into our team, and he'd walk into Madrid's team, so he's that good, but it does feel like, yeah, you're right in saying it. Tchouaméni and Camavinga are both excellent players. Valverde is ridiculously good as well. And then you mentioned the legends in the other two. So, yeah, it is one that if I'm a player, I would be thinking, yeah, get me to Liverpool. And it feels like, I know you referenced Van Dijk before, it does feel like that with Bellingham. It feels like he's been sold on the Liverpool project and here's how you're going to play. We're going to build the team. We're going to do this, this and this. Because Neil says this on Geno Insights again. He said, like, if you think about when Liverpool got Van Dijk, Liverpool probably shouldn't have got Van Dijk in terms of, he could have went to City and just won everything because they wanted him. Chelsea at the time, we're going to pay him big money and wanted him. It was Jürgen and the project of Liverpool that got him. And then, listen, in the end, they had to pay the money as well because he kind of balls that one up. But it does. I'm getting that off Bellingham. It feels like he could have his choice of any club in the world. And who's saying no to signing Jude Bellingham? Does not, if he can afford it. It does feel like that Liverpool have sold him the project, and it seems like he's interested. Especially the good news is, you know, his parents or his people come out saying we'd like him to go to Liverpool. All those leaks.
2 hours up the road.
All those leaks you're getting, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's obvious, really, isn't it? And there's no way Martinez hasn't had Messi go, don't go to Madrid.
Yeah.
Hate them. You know, on international duty. Go to Liverpool. Hate them as well.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully his Jude's mum and dad have forgotten how bad the M6 is. They've been over in Germany. Maybe they've forgotten just how bad the commute is from Birmingham up to...
At least Birmingham 50 zone. Yeah. Oh, wait, it's a safe drive.
Yeah.
At least you can get a nice, quick, cheap, reliable train. Oh, no, you can't. Yeah, you know, you have
to fly quickly, easily from Birmingham to Liverpool. No problem. I've no idea whether that's true. Let's hope it is. The idea of getting both.
It's exciting.
It's exciting. It feels like, just to clarify this, I'm aware of how horrendously naive it makes us sound to even consider the idea that Liverpool could spend, because Dortmund won 100 million plus for Bellingham. Enzo Fernandez has reportedly got 130 million euro release clause. So this is where we're getting this idea of 200 million from. You're right. The only time Liverpool have really spent big is on the back of the Phil Coutinho stuff. They've incrementally built their squad. But I think,
hang on, is everyone naive enough to think that the release clause is the price?
Fernandes will go. Yeah, and it never is. I think Rui Costa said this, didn't he? The director of Benfica, he's new in there. We're not going to sell anyone this summer. Sorry, we're not going to sell anyone in January unless they bid the release clause. but there's a chance they go. I'm guessing, paraphrasing, we'll wait till the summer and see where we are, because Benfica are having a really good season, and they've done well in Europe, they're doing well in the league. They don't want to sell now,
yeah.
And I think he referenced, like, I'm sick of us being a financial institution, not a sporting one. I think that was his words,
yeah.
Which makes sense. Let's win something and then you can go, mate, because remember they took the plunge on him. They were the only ones who bought him and then loaned him back to River because he wanted to win the Copa Libertadores. That's why United and Wolves didn't get him. And then it turns out they got knocked out anyway, so Benfica got him in August rather than October, November. So they took a gamble on him, so why would they risk doing it now? I think you could probably get both of them. I'm 170-ish, so like 100 for Bellingham, 70-ish for Fernandes. Maybe it's still a huge chunk of change, don't get me wrong. But it does feel like having not really got the midfield that he wanted. Like, the Tchouaméni money was there last summer.
I'm not sure 170 million changes my point drastically from 200 million.
No, I know, but my thing is, if the money was there for Tchouaméni, so is that just transferring over? Because in the summer, if they could have got Tchouaméni, they'd have took him, we know that. And would they have took Bellingham as well? We don't know. So maybe the money was just there. Yeah. It's all ifs, buts, and maybes. Yeah. But
It feels... That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm referring to. It might be. I can see you. I can certainly do the world. And I've got a little point to follow this where I can. Let's follow the thread where we do go down that way. But I'm just, for people watching at home who are going, fuck off, lads. It's fucking Fenway Sports Group. It's Liverpool. They've never gone and done a net spend, anything remotely like that. And there's not the assets in that squad to cover that net spend like they have been previously. Unless you decide, sorry, Mo Salah, you know, this is your time's done. But the point I've been making on this for a little while, Chris, is people are obsessed with net spend. Liverpool had the time on the early days of Klopp because it's the climb. So you don't need to throw £400 million in a transfer window because the pressure wasn't on. We could take 2 or 3 years to really improve what we had. Arsenal have had to jumpstart what they've done. They've spent big in the last couple of summers. Other teams, obviously Chelsea went mad in the summer as well. Those teams have been playing catch-up. And I think there's a spell where self-supporting, self-fulfilling sort of football teams where you sell to buy and you keep building from within is absolutely fine. That's the model every football club wants to aim for. We've missed the trick because of COVID and because I've had to double down. We've kept players around, which is unusual for how we've done things. But what I'm saying is every now and again, you do need to just go and spend a big dough. Barcelona had this. I've said this for years. Everyone wants La Masia. Everyone wants to be able to fill their squad from lads coming through on the cheap. And Liverpool are not quite doing that, but the closer to doing that. You know, between Trent, Jones, I know we bought Elliot and I know we've bought Carvalho, but we've bought young, homegrown lads in there. We're able to do that. But what it means you should be able to do is when you need to go and get a star, you just go and throw a chunk of money on a star. And that's what Barcelona were always able to do prior to throwing all their cash at Messi, is that you can go and get that extra guy. And that's where we're at now. That's where the cycle's at, is that Liverpool can't afford to sell a couple of players and use that money to buy a player this summer because they are going to get left behind. I don't think anyone at Liverpool wants that. So they're left with two choices. You either let your asset rot or you throw a big chunk of change at it to make sure that it at least maintains its value.
Yeah. Was there a question? No?
Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I mean, I said this about 4 weeks ago, that Liverpool's time where they've gone, we've got to sell, it's over. We don't have those assets to sell, so they have to spend. It's obvious, isn't it, if you want to stay at the top?
Yeah.
100%, can't disagree with any of it. Like I say, the climb is different than staying there. Liverpool climbing the mountain, doing it the right way, a way that they felt was right. Unless you're going to sell Mo Salah to fund them both, and then you're weakening yourself, they're not going to do that. They need to. If the series were winning, the fact that Klopp's still here, I don't think Klopp would just. I know he likes the, I don't know, the project. Jurgen Klopp wouldn't hang around for 5 years. He didn't think he could win. He wouldn't have signed a new contract. Mm. There'll have been some assurances in there because he can. And I've said this before. If he left Liverpool, his phone would be ringing off the hook, and he could go and manage any team in the world. He'd be the next at whatever. Germany would take him tomorrow. International managers, any club. So, you know, we've seen changes to the way the structures work as well in terms of the transfers. Maybe it's a bit of that. Actually, we don't need to go and find the gems anymore as much because. Well, we just need this now because we've done all that. We're a different team. You know, we've built ourselves to a level.
What we probably need now is someone with a bit of clout. rather than nous. You know what I mean? Because yeah, you don't necessarily need, you still need a shrewd operator, because it's how you're selling stuff on. Liverpool have gotten so much value from like your Danny Wards and your Jordan Ibes and your, God, you know, Brad Smiths. You know, think about the amazing money we've picked up selling lads on. We still need someone like that, but we're at a stage now where we need to convince the world's best to join us.
That's where Jürgen probably getting Jürgen on the phone is that, isn't it? With all due respect to Julian Ward, even Michael Edwards to an extent, getting the call off Klopp might help you out.
But maybe that'll be interesting to see who we do get in that role. If we can get someone who's got it, maybe not an equal amount of clout, but a significant amount of clout as well, maybe that's part and parcel of it. Because you're always going to be able to convince the lesser lights. See, Liverpool, you've managed to get yourself up to the top table. We want to make sure that we are, all the best players are going, well, yeah, Real Madrid or Liverpool. Okay, cool. Real Madrid or Liverpool. Not, all right. Well, all right, Liverpool, it's Real Madrid. The big difference is selling the project.
You've got to look at the players. Look, I know Real Madrid have beaten us twice in Champions League finals, but we've been to three Champions League finals in the last few years. That is massive for anybody looking for Champions League football. This isn't Luis Suarez going to Arsenal for six games of Champions League football a season. This is going and having a chance at winning the Champions League almost every single year under Jürgen Klopp. As a part of a massive team with a fella who supports you, who wants to make you a better player, that is different to what everyone else is offering on the table right now. Apart from Real Madrid. That's why it's us and them all the time.
And that's why, as well, though, where there's more to the game than that as well. You need someone who's got a bit more to them. It's the salesmanship. It's the package. It's why Man United have fell off a cliff, because obviously Fergie goes and they've not had a reputable director of football. They've not had a decent CEO and everything in between, and so they've been selling the club in the wrong way. You know, if you get someone who comes in and just got a real power and aura around them, that's it. You just play in a different game when you talk about those guys, the superstars.
You don't want a player speaking out at your club about how nothing's changed in the last 15 years since he left.
Yeah.
You don't want a player coming in and saying the training facilities are crap by comparison. They're exactly the same as what I left, which is what Cristiano Ronaldo obviously did at Manchester United. You want Liverpool to have invested, or a club to have invested, 50 million in the training complex to make you feel comfortable and be a better player each and every day that you go there. You want players talking about the team behind the team. Now, this is all stuff that Trent and everyone who's at Liverpool talk about constantly. It's the people behind them are just as good. They're world leaders in what they do each and every day and make it easy for us. That's what you want as a player. That's what Bellingham's been getting forced down his throat over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. We've had a few super chats and comments coming from members while we've been having this discussion. Ashley Pascoe with 179 saying, take Jude out of the pot. Who do you guys want in?
I think we need a more dynamic midfielder, so I don't know. Like, they are different players. I don't know who fits the bill.
It's such a loss to, you know, there's just a step from him down to every other footballer.
Realistic target, yeah. Like, I like Declan Rice, but again, he's more defensive-minded nowadays, so that's a hard one.
Because my head went to, obviously, Enzo Fernandez, because again, to my point, go and get someone with a big club that everyone wants, so at least you're saying, well, we're still in the market for this. And then I was like, well, what about Amrabat and what about Moises Caicedo? I'm like, these all feel like they feel like gambles, those kind of footballers. Now everyone's absolutely in love with Amrabat after the World Cup, or during the World Cup, but I don't know. You're right, there's nothing exciting about buying a guy who's basically going to be DM, you say, but it's about, if we were to miss out on Bellingham, I think it's a bit like when Man United sold Ronaldo or when Spurs sold Bale. It's kind of like, well, you've got this 130 million chunk, go and rebuild your whole midfield. Go and get three really good footballers.
I hope you do it right.
And hope, and they are all slightly more of a gamble than the one superstar, but that would be what I'd do. What about you, Chris?
I don't know enough players from around Europe nowadays to be able to accurately tell you. I mean, I could tell you the names that you've all heard because you've watched the World Cup and stuff, like everybody. So for me, Enzo Fernandez, if we're not getting Bellingham, would be an absolute have to get kind of buy. I really like the fact that, you know, he wins the ball back well, his passing's incredible, he sees passes from deep that other players can't do. He very much feels more like a really good cross between Wijnaldum at his best and Thiago, Enzo Fernandez, for me. He's got the steel of Wijnaldum, but he's also got the vision of a Thiago on the ball. So I think that's massive. I think him majority playing right-hand side of the midfield three gives us a little bit more time with Thiago as well and might buy you a little bit of breathing room before the next guy comes along who could replace the Jude Bellingham signing. Personally, I think it's more important to replace Henderson in this side than it is to replace Thiago right now. Enzo would fit that bill perfectly. Can you get someone to fill the Fabinho thing, or are you trusting that Fabinho is going to be Fabinho again? That's the big question mark there. And if you don't trust that, then you just, instead of getting the Bellingham, you keep Thiago and you replace Fabinho.
Yeah. New contract for Curtis Jones. Sign Arthur down on a permanent deal.
Jones is a funny one. He's not really been in the training that much in Dubai, apparently, has he? So I don't know what's going on there.
He got into the game just before the break, didn't he?
He's having too many injury issues at the moment.
Yeah. Liam, with the £5 super chat, is a bit off topic, but the 10 is still free. The number 10, not the position. Do we see a player within the club getting it or a new signing? That's a good. I mean, obviously Naby's gonna at the moment is gonna be leaving at the end of the season. You've got a world where you're 8 and you're 10 are two of the most iconic Liverpool.
And 7, by the way.
If Milner goes, 8, 10, 7. I mean, I'd love nothing more than I'd like some of them filled this January, to be honest, just for my own sense of comfort. But you know, in the summer, imagine just unveiling like Fernandez, Bellingham, and. Pick someone else, someone amazing, some incredible speedy winger or something who's going to take the number 7 shirt, and you just line them all up in front.
Facing the camera. No, God, just no. The numbers facing the camera.
Well, it would be like Aldridge, Beardsley, Barnes, wouldn't it? You know, in that kind of 88 vibes.
I said, Bellingham comes in, if he wants 22, he's got to do a deal with Calvin Ramsey. Maybe Calvin Ramsey can be Liverpool's number 8 or 10 or something. get 22 off him.
I do wonder whether Bellingham, because obviously, you know, he idolises Gerrard, would he want to take that shit, or would he want to stick with 22?
He has to get on the blower to Calvin, sort him out.
Yeah, I mean,
I still can't help but think that if we don't get Bellingham, Trent might be your option in midfield, you know.
He's okay. He won't give 66 up now, will he? It's too iconic.
No, I'm not talking about the numbers. I'm talking about being a midfielder again. Oh. If Calvin Ramsey works, and I know everyone hates it, and I hated talking about it for ages, but he's not being as impactful at right back this season. Can you get him into a position where he is more impactful again?
Absolutely. Scott Hawk, who's been a cult hero for 29 months on YouTube memberships, is so happy we've gone from no midfielders to buying them all. Hope all is well, fellas. YWA, yeah, same, Scott. And Ashley Fritted. Hey, guys, anyone else worried about our recent transfers injuries? Also, I'm weirdly confident about Bellingham and Amrabat. Yeah, there was a tweet, wasn't there, doing the rounds about how the Diaz, Jota and Nunes had missed more minutes than the old front three, which turned out wasn't true.
I didn't fact check that. I've been fuming about that for a while.
apparently that did get fact checked, that it wasn't the case.
Nunes,
good.
Touch wood, has he been injured?
Yeah, he's missed time though.
How
was the wording of it?
He had a little knock after he missed the Forest game, didn't he? With something, and he also headbutted someone. The Diaz thing, he's just done two ligaments in his knee now in the same knee. Different injuries that does worry. The Jota one is worse, I think, because they're muscle injuries.
He's desperate for a summer off, Jota, and that's really annoying because we're in December and we're already thinking, like, get him to pre season next season because, yeah, he's going to get a handful of games and he's just going to have loads of little niggles between now and then after he comes back. And you'd say the same probably with Diaz.
It's a fair point, though, because, like, Konate got injured. Like, they're all different. It's the muscle injuries that worry me. Listen, Konate it was just a tackle and he injured his knee. That's different.
And funny, didn't he?
Diaz got wiped out, didn't he? It wasn't a muscle injury. Jota concerns me because he's getting muscular injuries. He's done his calf, he's done his hamstring. That is a bit of a concern for me, that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to see. But
the funny thing around that is, remember a few years ago, they put Daniel Sturridge on a specialist like routine that was separate to everybody else. I wonder if that's something that they still do now at the footy club and whether that's...
Sure, they must. It's that advanced now. They're all... I think everyone's on their own individual. The other day, the trainer staff made Matip sit out of a session. He said he was sound, but they were like, no, it's just some of the underlying stats are suggesting that he's at risk. So they're obviously monitoring these things, because Jürgen wanted to just play him in the session, and he only got half a game the other day, didn't he, for that reason, I think. So I think they are looking after them. Same with Naby. Only got getting the half an hour, that was all from the medical staff. So I know people are kicking off all the medical staff and we haven't got a doctor and stuff, which legitimate concern a little bit, but I think they're on top of most of the
issue. Got a doctor now.
Yeah, not in place yet, though.
Yeah, well, again, doctors are there after the injury. Yeah. It's a sports scientist pre. It's not the doctor's fault that the fucking lads are injured. It's the sports scientists.
Yeah, definitely. Right, okay, cool. We're going to pick up on that stuff in the season.
You can't heal them, like, without a doctor. That's true. By the way.
We are sponsored by Who Knows Wins this week. Chris had a very, very good week last time out. Almost perfect.
So close.
9 out of 10.
So frigging close.
Tied in second place. And what did it get you?
18 quid, I think, in the end. Which, look at that. Oh, my word.
Which is not to be sniffed at, but do you want to tell people what your one you didn't get right was out of 10?
It was on the England-France game, obviously, and I picked Harry Kane not to score. And it was in spite because the week before I picked him to score and he didn't when we did it a week or so ago. So that's why I didn't do it. So I'm fuming about that because I would have had a share of 1,500, would have had 750 quid.
So first place took 1,500 quid, second place was shared significantly and got around 18 quid. So
that's,
yeah,
miles better than I've done before. I think 7 was probably my top mark before, like, so 9 out of 10 is pretty good, to be fair. Like, I was pleased with myself. Like,
so there's a couple more of those games this week. There is Argentina Croatia, which we'll go through now, and there's also Morocco Portugal as well. Effectively, what you've got to do is scan the QR code if you're here on YouTube, or you can go to redmen.whoknowswins.com, join up and get involved with the pick 10 on this one. There's three possible outcomes for all of the questions that are being asked. Do you want to just run through the questions for us, Chris?
Yeah, sure. So, full-time results. Argentina draw or Croatia, both teams to score over 2.5 goals. First half result, Argentina to have over 5.5 corners, Croatia to have over 3.5 corners, Argentina to have over 2.5 cards, Croatia to have over 2.5 cards, and Messi to score any time.
You've backed against Messi?
Yeah, I think it's trying to trick me into going he scores.
I mean, he scores every game, I think, pretty much.
That's not true. I mean, the pretty much might make it true. but until then,
he scored a lot of goals this World Cup, hasn't he?
Okay.
Might not have scored the last game.
I've no idea.
He got the world's greatest assist in the last game.
He played the best pass that anyone's ever played in their life. I just think it's blasphemy to back against Messi. I just always pick yes. The odds suggest, but then again, I reckon loads will have yes, so if you go for a no,
it's
and get
a differentiator.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, but
it differentiated me last time out.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, isn't that the difference?
Maybe not
between, yeah, not winning and winning. Yeah. So it works both ways when you do that, just as much. It's like not captaining Salah or Haaland in your fantasy. It's like, I'm going to do that because that's where I'm going to make me different. Yeah, you've made a huge difference. You're now 40 points behind the base in front of you.
Erling Haaland scored another hat-trick and you've captained, yeah, like the left-back from Hull or something.
Yeah. Left-back from Hull. Go ahead.
So, relegated Hull.
Yeah, it is a £1,000 pot for Argentina versus Croatia. There's a £2,000 pot for Morocco versus Portugal as well. And later this week, we'll also be entering the pick 10 with a huge £10,000 pot.
Morocco
to keep an eye.
France?
Okay, child. That's Dan failing to update the my proof that I will say anything if it's written down in front of me. Morocco versus France, sorry, yeah. Yeah, we're doing our pick 10 for £10,000 later on in the week, so keep an eye on our socials and all that. Make sure you are gamble aware and all that good stuff as well. Don't get involved. You have to be 18 plus. And yeah, if you have any issues with gambling stuff, don't feel like you're being press ganged into this by us. It is a bit of fun. And yeah, you too could be taking home £18.72 for just putting a couple of things in, like Kissy Paycheck.
He's gone for Mbappe to score in that one. So Morocco,
feel like you're hedging your bets by doing that?
Well,
even though it's totally unrelated.
Morocco haven't had a goal
yet. What did you get?
Don't worry about me.
It's all right, okay. How much have you won on this game?
A little bit.
Little mister, I'm going to judge your fucking picks, but I've only won 18 pence.
I'm not judging you. I'm just...
You are very much judging
I'm
me.
Not judging you. I think you've done a splendid job.
I know. I've won money 3 out of the last 5, by the way.
You have. You're doing really
3
well.
3 out of the last 5. Who else can say that?
I think I saw your pick for this game. Didn't you have Morocco winning and France spinning it round to come back?
Yeah, half time Morocco. I think one of them. I've done a bit. I tend to, as I say, get a final scoreline in my head and work backwards from there.
I have a narrative.
That's what I do as well, actually.
Yeah, that's yours. Yeah. I have a narrative in my head.
So there you go. Half time. I think Morocco are going to be leading at half time. I think France will ultimately win. Both teams will score over 2.5 goals. The cards thing has done me this whole tournament because it's been a really low card tournament.
Except for that Spanish ref who books everyone. We need to figure out where he is.
Yeah.
He needs to be on the yes. Is
what
it?
I did say, I think it's starting to get a bit more tasty in the knockout round. So I've gone for Morocco and France to get over 1.5 cards. But actually, I went against that for Morocco. I thought 2.5 cards was slightly too much.
Yeah.
Mbappe to score anytime. Yeah, there you go. Okay, cool. Get involved. As I say, scan the QR code on YouTube. Link will be below, redmen.whoknowswins.com for all of that. Right, let's crack into it then. Let's talk the state of the squad. Diaz out for 3 months. Jota's going to be out for 3 months. I mean, this is the thing. People are talking about it being February or March, but we're in mid-December. You know, that's a huge, huge chunk of football for both of them. I thought it was quite interesting. I mentioned this on Sunday's live show, Steve, that Carvalho started left of the three. Ox comes on left of the three in the second half. I'm quite excited to see Carvalho get more game time, and I think he's the one who could most benefit from this. There's a potential chance of one last hurrah for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and we saw how much he helped us in January, but it's a massive oversight if we've left ourselves where Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is all of a sudden now a required squad player to play in our attack. It's going to undermine what we're doing significantly over a long chunk of the season.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of Darwin Nunes left wing, aren't we? I think that's the obvious one. And then,
but what does that mean? What's the knock-on impact from that?
Bobby Firmino plays a lot up front, and that Mo Salah plays a lot on the right. We're down to three, aren't we? Really, the Carvalho one. If he plays, I think he has to play left wing. Jürgen tried in the derby putting him in midfield, and I mean, we got overrun. I know Emanuele in the same midfield just wasn't conducive to anything really. So he is if he's going to play, I think he does have to play on the left of a three. You're right, he's the one who's going to get the biggest opportunity now, you'd think, because as soon as there's a rotation in that front three, you'd imagine it's Carvalho getting into it. There's a chance Harvey Elliott might get on the right at times if Salah ever needs a rest. He really does. So yeah, Carvalho's going to be the biggest beneficiary. So, and Curtis Jones, I imagine we'll see a bit of Curtis Jones on that left as well, which again, isn't. I'm not sure that's where... I'll say this, I think that might be where he wants to play, I don't know, but I'm not sure about it. And then the other one who you didn't mention there is Kate Gordon. I know, again, a young lad, he's 18, he's back training again. He was in the squad, he was a squad player. He played a League Cup semi-final away at Arsenal. Like, they obviously think highly of him. Ben Doak is a young kid, maybe bits of him, but yeah, it's we've gone from having five really top options, two injuries have wiped that out. The main worry for me is that there's a lot of games, and you can't just run Nunes, Bobby and Salah into the ground, because they're at risk of injuries. Jürgen's have to be really, really clever. He's going to have to use these lads, whether it's off the bench, because five subs really does help, but we're going to look after who we've got now. So you want to win games, because Liverpool have dug themselves into a mighty big hole, given how they started the season. But yeah, there's not only the injured lads a big blow, but at risk of further injuries now, because you've got three senior forwards. You are right, I think it's a risk. And listen, I wouldn't be shocked if they try and get something done in January, maybe like they did with Diaz, where they just do one earlier than they were going to do anyway, because we are looking short in those areas.
It's you can handle one, two. I mean, we've seen it in the back end of the first chunk of the season, Chris, is that you're asking a lot of Roberto Firmino. I think more there. I think, look, Nunes and Salah should be able to be able to go. Salah's had a big rest. Oh, Bobby's had a rest, but we're starting to see just the frayed edges of Bobby Firmino's fitness in the last couple of years. Darwin, as a young lad, he should be all right to go. But this is the thing. Carvalho is the kind of next in line. He's not played any left wing in his recent career. He was a forward or a 10 for Fulham. And then when you start to name all those kids, Ben Doak looks so exciting, but he's, what, 16?
He's a child, yeah.
Yeah. Kate Gordon hasn't played.
It's 10 months he's
10
been
months out.
It's
a long time before he's going to be
back. He's going to be nowhere near. Nowhere near this season. And again, you're talking Elliot, but that's not necessarily... We need another guy to play centre-forward, or we need another guy to play on the left, is my thing.
I think that's right, and that's what Steve said before, is Elliot might get time on the right-hand side. You know, it might be in a Carabao Cup game if we get through that. Maybe it won't be against City, because obviously he's picked up a little something, hasn't he, at the moment. So, but Carvalho's the obvious one, so he's absolutely spot on. He's going to come in and spell. Now, is it that Nunes gets spells out for a bit, or is it that Bobby gets moved out and and Nunes goes across into the centre forward position. What does that do for Nunes switching between two positions all the time? That's what I think's most likely to happen, and that's not conducive to Nunes getting a good run of games together. And what if he's firing brilliantly down the middle? Do they then put loads of time into Carvalho on the left hand side? He's a young lad, you don't want him playing two games a week, etc, etc. So it's difficult for Liverpool to manage this period, isn't it? I think I've heard late February is probably where Jota is, but where does that leave him in terms of that might be just training?
Yeah,
you know, we might be looking at April by the time he's fit,
both of them,
and that's the end of the season.
Yeah.
So if Liverpool are serious and Liverpool have got money to spend in the summer, then they need to use some of that money to spend in January for me, because I don't see how you can close a massive gap on the teams above us and only have these three forwards to play with.
The thing, the issue...
The likelihood is one of them's going to get injured.
Oh, exactly.
And then you are completely screwed and there will be nowhere to sign players.
You're dead right in that thing of, it's all well and good saying we've got these lads, but there's no guarantee that these lads stick around, particularly not on the evidence that we've seen already. And again, if you're saying Bobby Firmino's definitely going to be fine, then that's naive as well, because... again, 18 months of his worst injury record, and that you don't imagine that in his 30s, that's all of a sudden he's not going to go back to what he was 3 years ago. The problem I think we're faced with is we've just done a big old chat about Liverpool potentially spending £200 million on midfielders that they very much need. Exactly. I think they'll feel they did their attack spending last summer. We went and spent £100 million on new lads for the front line. And another 50 in the January before.
It's all great, but if you don't get in the Champions League, you don't get the lads anyway, do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've got to spend the money
to
get in the Champions League. Because even if you just miss out on your top targets, it's not just your top targets. It might be a second and third choices that go to other Champions League.
Absolutely.
I wonder if there's a loan out there you could do or something.
We've got to start thinking properly.
I'm with you.
Josh has had nearly freaking two seasons out.
Yeah.
Great, he's going to be back in April, but the last 2 years have suggested he's going to be fucking injured in August again.
No, I'm with you. I just don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, because it is a difficult one. It also, by the way, don't forget, we were playing two up front for a while. That's gone now. Mm-hmm. 4-2-3-1. That's gone now. We haven't got four. Is he going to start all of them and then have no subs?
The only thing that could work is if he goes back to that narrow two of Salah and Nunes with Bobby in the hole, because Elliot could play in the hole, Carvalho could play in the hole. But again, you've only got two lads up front and no one to back them up.
Exactly.
You're screwed if you go down that path.
Yeah. It is difficult. I think when I see a lot of you mentioned Chamberlain before, maybe if it is just off the bench, the issue he's got is that if he's going to play up front, he probably needs to be on the right wing.
Exactly.
He's played that nine and he's not well.
Yeah, that's
not often.
Well, the other day, I think he played in that friend. He played all three of them all over the shop. But it might just be that Liverpool need to have a conversation with Mo Salah and Bobby and Darwin and say, listen, I know you love goals, and Mo, I know you want that golden boot and whatever and all these comments, but if we're winning 3-0, you've got to come off.
Yeah.
If we're winning 2-0, we saw us make life.
I just don't see a way. There might be a cheeky, clever deal in there somewhere in January where you're not spending huge money, but you're getting someone capable. But I can't see, because you're going to capsize everything else, I think. I just can't see a world where we're finding another 50 to 60 million pounds, for as much as we should be. You've got to be doing that. It's just sometimes you turn around and you go, well, it's just fucking unlucky. It's just the way it works, and you've got to turn to what you've got. And yeah, he's got a good track record of turning to what he's got and getting better out of the lads around. I don't think Curtis Jones being part of the front three is that. I don't think he'll want to see much more of Harvey Elliott playing in the front three. Although someone like Naby being back, that again, it's all hinged in other ways. Is what's our absolute priority in January? It's still probably one more midfielder. It's still some other lad. We could get a deal over the line for an Amrabat or a Caicedo, which needed doing regardless.
Yeah.
This is a new problem,
yeah.
And it's you're right. If we had bottomless funds, you would go and just solve this. I saw, funny enough, Rob Gutman's been banging the drum for Zaha, of someone like that now who's no longer a £100 million player. Palace aren't going to ask stupid money for them. They've kind of started to move beyond them because they've bought a lot of other lads into that front line. Someone like that on a shorter term deal, I don't know.
Get Divock back. We're in a position now where we are struggling. It is a concern. I've been pretty confident that we'd get back in the top four. We're one more injury away from really being really in trouble for that. You know, if you lose one of those three that we've mentioned, you're in big bother. I'm not sure yet on Carvalho if he's at the level to play left wing Liverpool every week. I think he's clearly talented, but I've always thought he looked better coming on.
I thought tactically how we set up in the first half against Leon actually gave a good indication of where we're at, and I think Darwin Nunes plays part of this. But Carvalho and Firmino were quite fluid, and that's what you're going to see with Nunes playing from the left. You know, there's going to be opportunities where Firmino's going to drift out and Nunes is going to fill that slot. So Carvalho kind of training in that way, I think, is quite encouraging. I don't really see how else he gets in the team. Yep. He's right-footed. He's got a really good eye for goal. I know he looks like Coutinho in terms of how he moves and all that kind of stuff, and he's got, you know, the hair. But it's like, I think he's got a natural inclination to get in the 18-yard box, which Coutinho did not possess. He had to have that drummed into him. So that might work for him, but you still trained him in a new position. As I say, he spent last year in the Championship, his breakout year, not playing anywhere like on that side of the pitch.
Yeah, you're right. I think Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is that now. He's a forward now, until further notice. It's mad to say this, but like, Liverpool have actually got loads of midfielders available at the moment that might not last forever. But as it stands, really, it's only Arthur, and even he's apparently closer than it was first suggested to come back. So it might just be, well, we've got Fab, Thiago, Elliot, Henderson, Milner, Jones, Elliot, blah, blah, blah. It might just be, right, Ox, our front five options for the next 6 weeks are Nunes, Firmino, Salah, Carvalho, Chamberlain, and he just moves into that rotation. Again, it's far from ideal, but you're right to reference. We used him last January, and he wasn't great, but he did okay. He got a few assists and stuff, and he did all right.
He's a good player, Oxlade-Chamberlain, isn't he?
I'll be honest, I think if we don't sign someone, Klopp's got to seriously consider the formation again, because I just don't see that we've got enough for 4-3-3 to go now to the end of the season.
Do you go for like a 4-4-2?
I think it's difficult to say, but I think Salah becomes a centre-forward, to be honest with you, and Harvey Elliott probably as your next best goes out right. Now, it might not be the Salah role per se, but it could be that 4-4-2 with Harvey on one side, maybe Nunes, Carvalho on the left, Bobby and Salah playing up front. Salah's fixed position, I think, hurts us in this type of an injury crisis, because it's like, well, he's your best player and you want him playing in your best position. Yeah, I know. But we haven't got players for all the other positions, and he can play up front, and he can score goals, and he does score goals.
I wonder whether there's something, and again, this is why I kind of reference Naby Keita and even Ox to some extent, is you're right, we still need to improve the overall quality of that midfield, but if Ox and Naby had been fit from the start of the season, we'd have had far less problems in the first part of the season. It's not to say this is the absolute be all and end all, but if Naby can just go back to what he was last season, which is still a big ask, I'm well aware of that, he does free up Harvey Elliott to do a little bit more, to be used elsewhere. There's also a little thing, and I think it's a bit soon for someone like Ben Doak, but if you want someone on the bench to just turn on for 10 minutes and just going to cause a bit of chaos, you can move Salah then into the centre-forward position. You take Bobby off, you put Salah centre-forward, and you put Doak on for 10 minutes to just run riot at people down in the full-backs. A bit of pace, bit of aggression in the play. That's certainly an option. None of these are perfect options, but also, to that point, Liverpool will also think, at some point, they've never over-gambled on stuff. To try and make a big sell to a good footballer, a football good enough to play for us, you're looking at 15 to 20 goals a season is what you're asking for that. I don't know if we're in the position to go into the market and find someone like that in January. You're just going to end up with someone who's really, how much better are they than Carvalho, Elliott, Doak and Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Limits their opportunities for growth, etc. So just going back onto my 4-4-2 idea, or 4-2-4, whatever you want to call it, having Henderson and Thiago, who've had their injury issues, playing a two-man midfield probably wouldn't be a bad shout with them. And, you know, spelling Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, three for two positions there. I think Nunes has got the ability to play up front left wing. If Salah's got the ability to play up front right wing, Firmino can obviously play left wing, right wing if you really want him to, but not often centre forward. Gives you, you know, the other lads, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Naby Keita, opportunities. I just feel like the 4-3-3 right now with the injuries that we've got could... although we play best in that, and I think that's what we realised over the first half of the season... if you haven't got the players, you can't play the formation.
I think the only thing with that is...
you're one injury away from not being able to play it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I think the thing, what they'll probably do, though, is you won't see Nunes, Firmino and Salah play from the start in many games. If that's the case, you just do two from three and you just rotate. You rotate them plus Carvalho, Doak and Elliot probably covering left.
Curtis will play left. I guarantee you now, yeah. Curtis is going to be playing a bit. I'd be sure. Yeah.
Maybe a bit.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
I think he'd pick Curtis on the left before he picked Ben Doak.
Yeah, I think he probably would as well.
But we're talking about a player who's not fit. You know what I mean? So he's not even been.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's another issue.
But yeah, that's likely what they'll do because I think they've settled on the. I think the idea of them changing formation. I mean, they might do because God knows we've tried it already this season. My suspicion is they'll double down on what they've got, and it's whether they can you add someone. I mean, it's a wild shout, and we've seen it bar one appearance in his debut against West Ham. But like Naby looked quite good on the left of the three in that. If someone's out the door, and you settled on what you've got already between Fabinho, Henderson, Elliot, Thiago, if Kurt comes back, would he rather him be a midfielder? I don't know. It's an interesting one, certainly. And hopefully it's someone like Carvalho just clicks. Yeah. You know, he's obviously very highly rated, got a lot of goals in the championship last year. He's already got goals for us, so all the pressure's off him. He hasn't quite been able to be on the pitch enough.
It just
for
feels
us.
Like there's lots of it's football, there's very, very perfect solutions, but it all just feels there's a lot of borrowing from Peter to pay Paul here, isn't it? It's not, and that's what happens. How many quality, amazing strikers do you want to have? Like six, seven, it's almost impossible. Five should be enough. Just two of them having relatively long term injuries at the same time.
And Klopp saying that the Diaz one was like a smash in the face, it tells you everything you need to know. You can cope without Jota, and you're getting Diaz back, and you're looking at it going, okay, cool, we can make this work. And you're right, we've got to find other ways of we've got to be clever and we've got to be canny, which is ideal for we're restaging our season, put a big line through everything that's gone before. We're going to start from zero.
We were supposed to get players back. That's why we were all happy there was a Winter World Cup. We'd made our peace with it. At least we're going to get our players back.
Yeah,
we did great. Nice one, Joel.
This time last week, I was sat there hosting the show. So can't wait for Diaz. How much of an impact is he going to make? He's going to give Nunes. We're going to have lads off the bench who can make it. No, gone. It can turn in a blink.
Sorry, it's not happening.
I jinxed it, us.
Yeah. Anyway,
don't have hope. That's what I've learned today.
Wow, we've really come full circle on this podcast, haven't we? Fucking hell.
You brought us down, Paul.
Oh, are you?
It was meant to be us bringing you up. You just dragged us down to your level.
I was all in on Carvalho being the big star for this. You're like, nah, shit, everything's fucked up. We don't buy someone in January, we're dead. Right, South. No, but again, to the point on this is that Jürgen and Liverpool heroes present themselves in this stuff. I think the idea that Liverpool are going to go back to being a 2.6 points per game or whatever side, that all of a sudden we're back in a title challenge, is a bit of a nonsense. We need to get things back up and running. We should be capable of that. I agree. I would feel loads more calmed. But actually, interesting to the point to people
did
watching at home.
Did you put Stig Ingebjørn on the wall over there for me?
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. I fucking love that.
Yeah. To the point, I'll ask a question of the people at home as well. If you could only buy one player in January, would it be a forward or would it be a midfielder? And whether the Diaz injury has changed people's perspective on that, because let's be honest, we've just had two fifths of a season where it's been midfield. We fucked it by not buying a midfielder. How has that not changed? Is my point on this? Even if Naby's back and Ox is back, do we still desperately need a midfielder in January? If that's the case,
I think you're right, but. A couple of years ago, if this had happened, and we were playing the way we were a couple of years ago, I'd be confident that we can win games 1-0. Mm-hmm. because we didn't have the forwards to do it, the way we've been shipping goals this season, it's a massive concern for me.
Yeah.
It's like we need to score the goals because we can't stop conceding them.
Hopefully Virgil can stop thinking about the World Cup now and be 100% back to being at his best than a few of those other lads. That's the big thing. It's unknowable what Liverpool's mentality is when they come back. And what it's worth remembering is we don't need to be the Liverpool from the last four or five seasons. We just need to be better than United, Tottenham and Chelsea.
In the short term.
And that doesn't mean we can't win the Champions League, by the way, or we can't win a domestic cup on the route to that. But it's an impossible ask, I think, to ask us to go back to being the team from the last few seasons at our best. It's not impossible, but so this is about the personnel and what we've got and the bodies and that we've got. If you've got two of Salah, Firmino and Nunes on the pitch every game, and you've got two of Henderson, Thiago and Fabinho in midfield, and you've got Virgil van Dijk, and you've got one of Matip, Gomez or Konate alongside him, and you've got Trent for most games and Robbo for most games, we should be well better than the vast majority of the teams in the league when we come back.
To answer the question, it depends on who the midfield. If it was Bellingham, I'd just take him. Just, you know, the win said, would you rather have one or the other? For example, if you were saying they're going to get a cheap loan in to cover a position, I think actually forward would be.
Would you rather buy Moises Caicedo or Wilfred Zaha in January?
Caicedo, but that's because I don't really think Zaha will make too much of a difference.
Yeah, probably Zaha. I do like him. But yeah, it's a short term, long term thing. That is a very, that's what I was saying before. The loan thing has very rarely worked, but I wonder if they do that because they just think Diaz and Jota are Liverpool players. They're going to be back next year. We don't want to just buy someone who's never going to play.
Oh, and they will 100% be thinking that. That's how they work. And I know it infuriates, and I know that's the situation that's got us into this position right now of thinking that with Keita and Ox.
You can't just buy someone to replace every injury. It's when players become injury prone that's different, and that's where we're getting to with Jota. I wonder if there, I don't know who it would be, and I'd like people to, like, is there a loan forward you can get who's just of a level where he can, even if it is just coming?
Here's one for you. Would you take Giroud?
Yeah. No. Just he's a really handsome man.
He's miles past his best.
Yeah, but he's handsome.
Great.
Why not? I would like if Liverpool could find someone who can.
I probably would take him, to be honest with you.
Stick him off him for a few games. Yeah, it's really, really difficult. It's a massive blow, this Diaz thing. You can't sugarcoat it. But like I say, if we saw Kevin Palmer put in, they're trying to get Bellingham and they're trying to get it done now. Just add him into your team.
I think he also then followed that up and said, it's definitely the summer.
Yeah, I think it's trying to get the deal done for the summer. There's no right answer. Unfortunately, there's no right. The only right answers are you just go and buy a boss forward and buy a boss midfielders. Like that's just, you know, that's what we're getting back to now.
The answer is you've got to spend £250 million in the next two transfer windows, and you might need to do that.
Oh, then get me Jude Bellingham on a forward. Was it Kudos maybe, or from Ajax?
Kudos.
Gakpo was linked, wasn't he, as well?
If it's £250 million in the next two windows, though, I'd probably go midfielder.
And forward, you could do all three.
Because at that point, I am thinking Diaz and Jota will be back.
If Bobby's leaving in the summer, you need to buy another forward anyway. But I'd be tying him down to a new contract regardless. And the same. And to be honest, I'd give Keita a new contract as well, just because I think it gives you so much more breathing room. Ox can move on because I think he's just kind of had his day, and he'll go and get a couple more years in the Premier League at a decent side and probably have a decent little spell. I know Keita's so frustrating, but he's so good at football as well. He's so, so good. He's almost worth it for another year of just having that extra insurance policy of there's 20 games where you can play him in.
Good luck with that, mate. Minutes. 20 minutes.
Has he made less than 20 appearances in a season for Liverpool?
Almost definitely.
Right now? He hasn't played once?
No, I know. Prior to this one. There's loads of football left, by the way.
Yeah. There's about 50 games left, isn't
there? Yeah, exactly.
Seen having five of them.
Peter Crouch is out of work, so Stuart Wisby in the comments. Yeah, it's a fascinating one. We'll do more on this as and when it develops, of course.
I don't really think we solved anything there. We just...
No, how can we?
If anything, I feel worse. This hasn't helped.
No, it hasn't. But it also doesn't help that it's weird. Like, I just enjoyed watching Liverpool play at the weekend.
So did I.
Watching the game. But we didn't win, so it can't help. But like, I'd like to see Liverpool win a game of footy. So AC Milan at the weekend, ages. If you could just do that, that'd be that.
Couldn't even win the fucking shootout. We even got an injury because, like, just for familiarity's sake, someone got took off as well.
Turns out this pre-season's the same as the season. Great, nice one.
Same season. Well done.
Here we go again.
Right, cool. We're doing podcast extra straight after this over on Redbird Plus. We're going to be doing the boring future of Gareth Southgate. I love the fact that everyone's got a really big opinion on this. And again, as we've said throughout the World Cup, I really don't care. And I'm interested to have the discussion with you guys because we just don't have any irons in the fire on this one at all. We don't really care who's an England manager. So I'm interested to know what we think England should do with regards to Southgate. Joey Barton's flipping. Sam Wallace and Rory Smith are in danger of getting cancelled, even though it's at the really sensible point of it on it. And we're going to be taking some more viewer questions as well. So come and join us for the uncensored version of this podcast where we say a lot of stuff that we would never put out on public forums. That's over on redmanplus.com right now. And also, don't forget, actually, last chance. Last couple of days to get your Red Men Christmas jumpers as modelled expertly by Steve Hoare. They're on a flash sale at the moment, available for £20. Look at them.
Not that type
of
flash.
That wasn't.
I misunderstood flash.
Sad. You can get both designs and some other bits and pieces. If you go to redmanmerch.com, front and centre on the site, we'll tell you the things that you can still get guaranteed UK mainland delivery on, and some wonderful discounts on the knitted Christmas jumpers as well. Right, cool. Come and check us out on Podcast Extra. It is a boss laugh, and we'll see you over there. And Paul Machen, that's the one. That's Chris Page.
There we go. He's smiling. It worked.
What a day. We'll see you all very soon.
Thank you so much for that. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want more Red Men in your ears, then consider signing up to redmenplus.com. You get everything that's on the website in video and, if you want it, in podcast form. From £5 a month, redmenplus.com, you get 2 free items of merchandise every single season. If you sign up as a club legend, you get 20% discount codes every single month, exclusive discounts from our partners, as well as your name in the credits and each and every Red Men Plus show.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.